in the central district, in the middle of what we like to know as the Sephardic ghetto. She was the fifth of six children born to Louis and Victoria Israel, although there was a 13-year gap between Irene and her next older sibling. It was almost like there was a smaller family. There was her parents and her and her younger sibling, and the older siblings were more her uncles and aunts. Irene's family were very active in Ezra the Seraph, and she was involved in SYC, the Sephardic Youth Club, that served both Sephardic congregations. Ike, you began courting Irene when you were a senior and she was a junior at high school. It was love at first sight, and despite your youth, you knew at the age of 21 and Irene at only 19 that you were ready to get married. But before you were married, Ike, you were doing your Army basic training for the Korean War in Camp Roberts, California. During Ike's deployment, Irene was left to organize a wedding with both sets of parents. Immediately after your honeymoon, Ike, you were shipped out, and that left Irene to begin married life as a single woman with her parents and her in-laws. But it didn't last too long, as Ike, you were there to see the exchange of POWs, and then you came back to Irene. Irene worked at Seattle First National Bank as a night auditor, and then in 1955, family life began. First, Leah was born, and then 1957, Maury, you came along, and things have never really been the same since. That was a line just for Maury. In 1960, Ike got his promotion at work, and he got transferred to the Bay Area in California. Ike was always on the road with his transportation business, leaving Irene as a mom with two young kids. And do you know that when you moved, you left her not knowing a single person? And so you quickly became involved actively in the synagogues down there, in Beth Jacob's synagogue in Oakland, and then later in Beth Shalom congregation in San Leandro. Irene and Ike, that was your community down there. Those were how you made your new friends. Irene was very active with the kids in Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and Little League, and she also worked at JCPenney. In 1970, the family moved back to Seattle, and of course, you joined the Picker Holland. And I have a little sidebar here that it was that Mari was 12 and a half, and Ike did the, it was very fitting that Ike did the Psalms, because Ike was your, I was just saying, your Mr. Tudor, he was your drill sergeant, because he came up with any Sephardic traditions. Well, not many, and you had to cram him for his bar mitzvah portion.
He was not Mr.
And we know that Irene's family were members of Ezra the Seraph, but Ike, you're a Tokino, and your home has always been there before for him, and so Irene had to go back and learn how to be a Turk. And Irene went back to work in bank at Rainier Bank. She was also very active, as I said, if people call him, in the sisterhood. She was very close with her brother Max and his family, and in 1973, when Irene's mother, Victoria Israel, passed away, she passed away just 2 days before Passover. And that started a new tradition of massive Israel family, the Israel family, getting together for Passover with all of Irene's extended family. They especially loved playing the Gong Show with Uncle Max, and they took great pleasure in hosting it. Ike and Irene loved to travel. They went on many cruises with friends to Mexico, Hawaii, the Caribbean, and a memorable trip to Spain. They would also have many Israel family reunions. In 1981, their first grandchild was born, Angela, and then 4 years later, Jordan was born. And once again, the world changed. Irene was a very active grandma, and she was affectionately known as Grandma Rini. The grandchildren would often spend the night at their grandparents. They would take the grandkids to seaside and lots of other fun family trips. Irene loved entertaining and always had big parties and barbecues on the holidays. She had an open house, and Mari and Leah's friends were always there. In 2006, they moved to the Summit, where they were very happy for 4 years. Then they moved to the Klein Gallen home in 2010. And again, Irene was happy there for many years until her passing. Irene loved the Klein because it was always full of familiar faces. And it was just like the old days, seeing the old friends from the Sephardic congregations and old acquaintances from the community. Irene was a very caring mother. In Mari's words, she was a typical Jewish mother, always worried all the time about you guys. Even as adults with your own children, she'd tell you, drive carefully and call me when you get home. And she'd always end every phone call with, I love you. She'd always be the first one to say it. She loved to give you hugs. She was a very loving woman. She was a great cook. She made all the great Sephardic dishes. And as I said before, she was a Rosary, but she learned how to do everything Turkish too. And she, instead of making pishtado konsomat, she learned to make pishtado konlavo limon, which was your favorite ice. Irene was always very careful to make sure that you all had dinner together at night at the table. Family was so important to her. She loved you, Mike. You were married for 64 years. She loved you, Leah and Mari. And she loved her grandchildren. And she loved you, Roseanne, like a daughter, too. Whenever I would visit the Klein, she would talk about her children and her grandchildren so fondly. She'd come over and talk about the pictures and she'd say, here is my legacy, here are my crowning achievements. And you are her legacy and her crowning achievements. And you are there to keep her memory alive with us. She was a happy, loving woman, and we will miss her greatly. Amen. I'd like to ask Vic Amir to come up and give a eulogy. And after Vic, we'll have Angie and Jordan, and then Mari, you'll finish off. I don't think this is exactly a eulogy. When I was about 10 years old, some 75 years ago, I ran into another young man about the same age. His name was Ike Eskenazi. And to say we became good friends, best friends, or even that we bonded would be an understatement. We became inseparable. We spent all of our waking hours during the day when we were not at work or at school together. And that wasn't enough. After dinner, we would get together and walk. And we walked and we walked and we walked. What we said to each other, I have no idea, or even if we did say anything to each other, I don't know. All I know is that we had the need to be together. And thus he became my special brother. We were inseparable, certainly through our formative years when we were teenagers. As Rabbi said, we were part of a group called the Beamtimers originally, and then became the SYC Spark Youth Club. It was a group of about 40 young people about our same age, half guys and half girls, and one of them was a girl named Irene Israel. We did everything as a group, but the group knew that they could never refer to Vic or Ike separately. It was always Vic and Ike, or Ike and Vic, because we would never, ever do anything without the other person. As we grew a little older into our teenagers, and occasions came up where we needed to have a date for a party or a dance or going to a performance of some kind, the guys would get together and one guy would say, I guess I think I'll ask so-and-so for that. And the other guy would say, I'll ask this other one. And that way, virtually all of the people in the group got to go. And it was on one such occasion that Ike and I were talking, and I said, Ike, why don't you invite Irene? And you know,
We all know how that turned out. Shortly after he and Irene became a number and were a couple, I met a young woman who's now my wife, and we became an inseparable foursome. We did everything together, occasionally Dave Bezos and Diana, who's now his wife, joined us and we were triple dates. But when they were not there, it was always the four of us. When Ike and Irene finally got married in June of 1952, my wife and I were a part of the wedding party. When my wife and I got married 6 months later in December of 52, Irene was a part of our wedding party. Unfortunately, Ike was helping Harry Truman over in Korea. There's no doubt whatever in my mind that had we not had family obligations and that Uncle Sam had not taken Ike overseas, we would have been each other's best friend. We talked about being in business together for the rest of our lives. It's not that going to work out. When a year after we were married, my wife and I, it was December 1953, I was in the Army Station at Fort Ord, California, living off base with my 7-month pregnant wife in Salinas. When we found out that there was a ship coming in from Korea and Ike was on it and he was going to land in San Francisco early one morning, well, we got very excited about that and decided we were going to go up to San Francisco to drive 100 miles up to San Francisco and meet that ship. So we decided we would get up about 4 or 4:30 in the morning and head up there. But we were so excited about the prospect of meeting Ike when he was coming back to the United States that we couldn't fall asleep. And at 1:30 in the morning, we got ourselves up, and it was a good thing we did because we ran into the thickest, densest fog I have ever seen in my life. And we inched ourselves up the 100 miles to San Francisco and arrived at the port a few minutes before the ship came in. As we were standing there, amongst a group of several hundred people waiting for the ship, my wife noticed a lady standing there also, who she recognized from pictures at Irene's house as being Irene's sister, Millie. So we went up and introduced ourselves, and the three of us waited for them. And sure enough, the ship did come in. Ike finally came off the ship for about 5 minutes. That's Ike. And then he reboarded the ship because it was going on to Stockton where he was going to be let out. By the way, I mentioned that my wife was 7 months pregnant. 2 months later, we had a daughter. Her name is Susan Irene, and named after Irene. Our second daughter is named Marcel Diane, after Diana Bezos. And the third daughter, we didn't have no way for Roseanne Lynn. When my wife and I finally came back to Seattle in August the following year, Ike and Irene shortly thereafter bought their very first house on Mayflower Street. And within a few months, my wife and I bought a house less than a mile away, and we began our adult lives as one family. And we had our children, they had their children. Our children grew up more as cousins than as friends. We did everything as one family. We had barbecues, we had picnics, we went on numerous vacations together. There were even instances where we would find a hotel room that accommodated both families in one unit, and we spent the unit as one together in one unit. When we finally settled down and grew together, Ike on one occasion had to go, and many of you know that Ike's job took him up to Alaska, to the furthest reaches and the smallest villages in Alaska on many, many occasions. On one such occasion, he was way out in the furthest reaches of the Aleutians, closer, much closer to Russia and Japan than to Seattle. Pardon? We always said he had an Alaskan family. But at any rate, while he was up there, lo and behold, it was fogged in. And the airplanes could not come in to take him out, and he was stuck there for several days. And so it so happened, it was a time that Irene had to have surgery. So I was the one who was there with her before she went into surgery. I was the one that the doctor came out and told about the success of the surgery. And I was the one that was there when she was brought back from the recovery room. I think the hospital staff might have thought that I was their husband. I don't know. But we did so many, many things together. We spent time together. We played all kinds of games. Charades was one of our favorite games. On one occasion, my wife was asked to describe this book, which was also a movie, and she went like this. It was Topaz. At any rate, there are many, many, many remembrances I have of our lives with our name and Ike. We were one family, that's all I can say. We were closer than I can think of. I'm a realist, I'm a practical person, and I do understand human mortality. 6 years ago, my beloved sister, Louise Hassan, passed away. I got up to say a few words, and I was standing there experiencing the most emotional turmoil I could bear. I was trying desperately, as hard as I could, to find the right words to describe the feelings I was experiencing. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't find the words. Do words actually even exist that describe love? I don't know. I don't know them if they do. And today, standing here, I have another sister there. And I have the same problem. And I don't know the words today either. And if I'm experiencing this kind of trauma, I don't know what Ike will be going through. After all, they loved each other for 66 years. We were married for 64. You were together for 66, I. She was the woman he loved. She loved him. They were partners in life. They were the ones that shared their innermost thoughts and experiences. And I don't know how to describe what you're going through. But Ike, I only hope that the many wonderful memories that you and me shared together will bring you calm and peace and serenity. And I pray that Hashem will bring you good life for many years to come, and we can spend together as my special life.
apologies, I don't have a printer, so I'm